Hello, and welcome to Elevate Leadership Podcast, brought to you by South Carolina State University, Public Service and Agriculture. I am Elizabeth Mosley Hawkins, Senior Director of Strategic Communications for SC State PSA, which provides programs and services to South Carolinians, as well as conducts problem-solving research to impact the quality of life. Through our very important work at SC State PSA, we innovate and educate to elevate the quality of life and the standard of living for all South Carolinians. We are so excited because we are relaunching Elevate Leadership Podcast. We're bringing you the same great content, but this time we are filming on location. The podcast seeks to advance communities through entrepreneurship and leadership development. And we do this by having conversations with leaders and entrepreneurs who talk to us about their career progression and share insights on their own perspectives on leadership. Elevate Leadership Podcast premieres each month on YouTube and is available on all streaming platforms. So, of course, you can always learn more about SC State University and SC State PSA on the university's website, sesu.edu. And make sure that you follow us on all of our socials at SC State 1890. Now let's get into the show. Our guest today is a media executive with progressive leadership experience. She uses the power of public media to amplify, educate, and strengthen South Carolina communities. Adrian Fairwell is the seventh CEO and president in the history of South Carolina Educational Television and Public Radio. She returned to SCETV in 2023 after serving as general manager of Arizona PBS. Adrian champions diversity and equity and has developed successful initiatives that support an inclusive workplace culture. Adrian is a homegrown South Carolina native. She earned a Master of Arts in Human Resource Development from Webster University and a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism and Mass Communication from the University of South Carolina. So Adrian, let's get started in the interview. First of all, I want to thank you for graciously allowing us to film here at the studio at SCETV. It's a beautiful studio and a beautiful facility.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
Tell us a little bit about SCETV.
Well, we have a great facility here, yes, in the heart of Columbia, but we also have stations in Rock Hill, Beaufort, which we call our low country station, and then in the upstate in the Carolinas. And so for us, it's a situation where we say we're statewide and we are co-located statewide. And that matters because we are impacting the communities that we serve, but we also have to be embedded in those communities in order to be reflective of what the gaps are that we identify in those separate communities. Because what you see in the low country might not be the same needs that they have in the upstate and vice versa here for the Midlands and in the PD. And so for us, it's important to have those regional stations, which is what we call them. So we're located throughout the state of South Carolina. And I love to say, Liz, throughout parts of Georgia and North Carolina, too. They don't like to admit it, but we are. yes, we are competitive. But for us, it matters. And so South Carolina ETV informs the public, yes, about public emergencies, emergency management when we talk about weather, but we also do a lot in the realm of education, and people don't necessarily know us for what we provide, educators, parents, and students, and they should, because that is a content platform as well. So while we are radio and we're television and we're digital, we are also education. And so for us, when we look at access, that is one of the things that I am really most proud of, too, that, yes, you know us from what we do on television and what you hear as a listener on our radio airwaves. But we are also very much so embedded into education in the state of South Carolina. And that is a part of our mission that we take extremely seriously.
So what does that look like, the educational outreach aspect of SCETV?
So we train educators. We train criminal justice academy participants. We train SLED officers. We train K through 12 teachers. And we use what we call standard aligned curriculum. We have knowitall.org, which is a repository of all of our educational and standard aligned curriculum that's been approved through the state of South Carolina and our partners where anyone, anywhere in the world can access knowitall.org, and they will have access to educational materials for math, science, reading and language skills. And for us, that's also a major part of what we do. We have educators here in the building who go out and train other teachers to help with their certifications. We have educators in the building who go to schools and facilitate conversations and workshops for students. Mm-hmm. We also have recently started a program for senior citizens. As you well know, Liz, senior citizens are now raising, grandparents are raising grandchildren.
Yes.
And if they're not raising them, they are helping out in yes. those households to yes. fill in gaps. And so for that aspect, we want to conquer the digital divide. And so we train senior citizens on how to use awesome. Mobile phones, apps, iPads, Kindles, whatever it is, so that they are able and equipped to help those grandchildren with their homework assignments mm-hmm. or what have you. And so I think that knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And when we're mm-hmm. fearful of certain things, then we shy away from them. And so we're trying to equip senior citizens on how to use that digital equipment to be successful and helpful to their grandchildren.
That's awesome. That's a kind of aligns with our mission with public service, just mm-hmm. being able to provide quality program and services that take into account improving the quality of life. Mm-hmm. So we have a shared mission.
Of course. Of course. Community is everything.
Yes. Yeah, so in August of 2023, mm-hmm. After an extensive search, you came back home to serve as CEO and president of SCETV. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you?
It means a lot, actually. For me, there is no place like home. Mm-hmm. Phoenix was, the topography is amazing. I think that when you think about the desert, you think about dust. you think about wild animals, and all mm-hmm. that all of that is true.
Right.
But it's beautiful. It's beautifully landscaped. But there is no place like home, Liz. Mm-hmm. So for me, as a kid growing up, I was watching South Carolina ETV mm-hmm. because while I won't tell my age, what I will say is that I lived during the time where TV signed off at night.
Yes.
So let's say that. And so for me, watching SCETV growing up, you've got Sesame Street, you've mm-hmm. got Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
And those are programs that, whether you believe it or not, laid the foundation for linguistic skills, for mm-hmm. social emotional skills. Mm-hmm. And you take those things with you as you progress in life. And so I've watched this station. I had the benefit of being an endowment intern when I started here at ETV. And thereafter, I got a job as a production assistant,
oh,
right?
Wow.
So I loved it here. I loved the work. And it was so funny. At the time of getting the job as a production assistant, I remember going, okay, is this really going to be for me? Because I'm dragging equipment, pulling rope and cable,
schlepping
you
everything.
Know, everything. And I'm like, I wanted to be behind the camera. That was the job I wanted. But as I interned at South Carolina ETV, I realized that this is passion work. So I get mm. to be a storyteller. Mm. I get to work in the community and talk about my community. And I get to do it for an organization where that's its mission. Mm-hmm. I'm not, as a broadcast journalist, chasing ambulances to figure out, you know, what happened on the corner of
yes.
Elmwood and Assembly. You know, for me, that was impactful. I've always been taught to know thy impact. And so as a young lady, I'm watching this station and I'm like, you know, I'm going to stay in communications. So I left. I stayed in the field of communications, but went to do public relations for a while.
Okay.
And I always knew, I always told my husband, I'm going to end up at ETV. I don't know how,
really?
Don't know when, don't know what the position will look like, but when it comes, it'll come. And it happened. And so I was assistant general manager here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
I love this station. And when I had the opportunity, when we had the opportunity, because I have a family behind me, and it was a family decision to mm-hmm. leave, to go to Phoenix, Arizona, it was one of those things where, Liz, I was concerned about uprooting our children, uprooting mm-hmm. my husband, who had a very viable career here in South Carolina. And the four of us decided, let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know, our daughter plays basketball and she happens to be good at it. So we had all these things to be concerned about.
Right.
But in life, you make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And one of those sacrifices was that, okay, I need to add these tools to my toolkit.
Right.
How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And because I want to one day run this station. Mm-hmm. Did I know when? Did I know where? Absolutely not. The timing was not lined up mm-hmm. at, to what I thought.
It wasn't
anyway.
Perfect, right?
It was not perfect timing, and it rarely ever is. And so we're in Phoenix. Fast forward, we get the phone call that, hey, this position is open. We think you should apply. And so my husband and I had a conversation. He's like, you know, go for it. It's an opportunity to return home, do what you love doing, continue the great work that's going on at that station, mm-hmm. Both on the radio and the television. And in the digital realm, but you know that there are gaps that have been identified. Go for it. We did. And with much prayer, we returned to the network. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more pleased to be at home doing what I love doing and impacting the communities that I grew up in, mm-hmm. who I am able to have a direct hand and say so in what goes on, not just here at the network, but what our brand is. Outside yes. of South Carolina, what our brand means to people. We had an event Wednesday night, and it was around a screening for the Dr. Henry Louis Gates documentary, mm. Gospel.
Okay.
There is also a new animated cartoon coming out, Lila in the Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And both those screeners were impactful to our community. It showed us what we meant to not only the state of South Carolina, but here in the Midlands, we had children participating, we had adults participating, and I couldn't be more pleased about how well that event went, Liz.
Nice.
One of the things that I would key in on is going back to your question, how was that for me? How is it being back? It's amazing. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have to pinch myself to but this is what I love doing. This is what I enjoy. This is where I wanted to be. This is my passion and my purpose, and it's a privilege to be here to do it.
Awesome. You talked a little bit about you knew that you wanted to come here,
mm-hmm.
and you prepared yourself along the way mm-hmm. to be in the seat that you're in now. What did that look like for you? How did you prepare yourself for this time?
That's a great question. Mentorship. And when I say mentorship, reverse mentoring, you mm-hmm. know. And what I mean by that is, I found people, here's what I'll say. The first thing is, I always connected myself to people who were already connected. Mm-hmm. I still do that. You never stop growing. You never stop learning. But the truth is, you find the place that you want to land.
Okay.
You find who is already in that place, occupying that space. And that's what I did intentionally. And I found advocates and allies. And so what that means is they don't look like you or me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk like you or me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same gender. They're not always the same race. But you've got to have the people in the room advocating for you, and you're not in the room.
Mm.
And I connected myself to those people. Those were the people who, and I mean, I can name them off the top of my head. Secretary Bobby Hitt. An amazing man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like me. He's a man. I'm a woman. He's Caucasian. I'm African American.
Mm-hmm.
He's brilliant in a lot of ways. And so he was not only my boss, he was my mentor. He was my friend. He was someone I entrusted my career path to. And I went to him for guidance. I went to him for feedback because I felt like it would always be authentic.
Mm.
And as a leader, authenticity is one of those things that you have to have if you're going to have people to follow you.
Right.
Believe in what you're doing and your vision. You have to be authentic and genuine. And so I connected myself to those advocates and allies
mm-hmm.
because Secretary Hitt was in the room, the
right.
room I wanted to be in. And so Reba Campbell. She was one of the presidents here in an interim role. I think it might have been 2002, 2003 mm-hmm. time frame. Because Liz, honestly, people sometimes see things in you that you don't see in yourself.
Right.
And even mm-hmm. though I knew what my path should be, I had to chart it. Mm-hmm. And by way of connecting myself to advocates and allies, people who are in the rooms that I'm not necessarily a part of. I also did that by, I had a question. I was speaking at an engagement earlier this week, and one of the young ladies asked a question. Adrian, you know, as an employee, what were your, if you had to name three categories, a red light, a green light, a yellow light? Think mm-hmm. about it in terms of that. And I said, that's a great question. Something, she said, what's in a red light position, what's something you would never do? Mm. In a green light position, what's something you'd always jump at doing? And in a yellow light position, what's like, meh? And so I said, well, in a green light position, what do I enjoy doing? Collaborating, networking, building relationships. That's a part of my mm-hmm. my goal mindset mm-hmm. to get to where I want to be. What's the yellow light for me? Something that I don't necessarily enjoy doing, but I have to do. I told you earlier, budget, you know. We have to have
crunching
a budget.
Crunching those numbers.
They're crunching the numbers. You know, and I used to say as a communicator, I don't do numbers. I don't do math, I write. But that's not true. In this role, you have to do a lot of math.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to balance a budget. And so that's my yellow light. Mm-hmm. But there is no red light for me, Liz. And that's what I would share with your listeners and your viewers. There is no red light. Don't be the employee that goes back to check your position description when you're asked to do something or you're identified to do something. One reason is that I go back to what I said initially. Sometimes people see things in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself.
Yes.
And so while you're thinking of, that's not in my position description. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. Do it. Because while you are showing yourself as an asset to that organization, you're also growing personally and professionally. So you're adding to that toolkit that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I make a conscientious effort to add to my toolkit. Moving out to Phoenix, Arizona was a conscientious decision to right. add to my toolkit. But that doesn't come without sacrifice. That doesn't come without challenges. Because there are, especially when you have a family, there are dots that you have to connect mm-hmm. in order to be successful. Your family has to be willing to make certain sacrifices.
Right.
But this is, you know, again, for your listeners and viewers, I can't do any of this without the support of home.
Mm-hmm.
Because home is always my biggest cheerleader. And for me, it's a situation where we've often talked about, you know, sometimes a setback is really a setup
yes.
for the comeback,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
So we look at ourselves and we're like, oh, this isn't where I wanted to be. This isn't where I intended to be. You don't know because they're preparing a table for you.
Mm.
You just don't know it. We teach our children, especially, I have a daughter and a son. And because I have a daughter, I often tell her, you know, I'm teaching you. I know in your ear it's like wah, wah, wah all the time.
Right.
Right.
Mom.
Right. Don't want to hear it. I know everything. I'm
yeah.
17. I've seen the world. But,
yeah.
but you know, we teach her all the time, you know, you are a young woman and this world will be unkind.
Mm-hmm.
You are a young boy and this world will be unkind.
Right.
But what we teach our children is that we're giving you the tools and the resources to build your own table. So that way you don't have to ask anybody permission to sit at theirs.
Yes.
You're going to build your own table.
And you're going to bring
teach
your chair
you.
Too.
There you go. There you go. And so it you'll be the invitee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's about sacrifice. It's about resiliency.
Mm.
And it's about good judgment and decision making. My team can tell you, I often quote, everything has to be done in decency and in order.
Mm.
And when you do that, then it lines up for you.
Awesome. So let me ask you a little bit about, you talked about being a woman,
mm-hmm.
especially in this industry, media. Mm. And I would be remiss if I did not say that you are a pioneer in this industry. First black African-American woman to be named general manager at Arizona PBS and here as well. How do you move in that space? How do you've shattered the glass ceiling, you've opened the door for others to come behind you. That's a huge responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. How do you keep that in focus, but then also make sure that you are bringing in others behind you?
Now you're gonna make me tear up. Uh-oh. Because that's I'm on the shoulders of other people, Liz. Mm-hmm. There had to be people who paved the way for me to be able to do the things that I've done and accomplish the things that I've been able to accomplish. And so I accept that challenge willingly. Mm-hmm. Anyone who knows me knows that I have a competitive spirit anyway. Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. But I am one of these people who, I didn't like bullies growing up. Mm-hmm. I still don't like bullies. I'm very decisive. I'm very direct. And being in this role in particular, it's not lost on me how I got here. Mm-hmm. The why I'm here is also not lost on me. And it is to be able to climb the ladder and pull others up. I treat people the way that I want to be treated.
Yes.
And so I don't think of the proverbial glass ceiling. There is no glass. There is no ceiling. I can do anything. Mm-hmm. I wake up every morning. I thank God and I say to him that I can do all things through you. Awesome. So there is no glass ceiling for me. I don't even let myself think about this is it. Mm-hmm. This isn't it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to do what I have to do here to leave an amazing legacy and make sure this network is better today than it was yesterday. Better next year than it was the year before. That's my job. Mm-hmm. And then to make sure the people that we serve are better today than they were yesterday, better to the next year than they were last year.
Right.
And that's that. So that's how I live my life. I don't see that as a burden. I see that as a thank you. I accept it. Mm-hmm. I accept it, and I accept it wholeheartedly, because in my mind, this is the beginning of endless possibilities and opportunities.
Right.
So it's not, you know, I still don't feel like, you know, I'm, you know, I was the first person to do this or the first person to do that. I don't get caught up in any of that.
Yeah.
I got a job to do. I come do my job. I do it the best that I can do. Mm-hmm. And then when I lay down at night, Liz, my husband can tell you I sleep well. I sleep very well because I know that this day I gave it all I had. What tomorrow brings, I do not know. But this day I gave it all that I had. Mm-hmm. I empty the tank, and that I come in here every morning to empty the tank. And when I go home and I finish at night, this is a media company. Mm-hmm. So we're never closed. It's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, even on holidays and weekends.
Yes.
Specifically during emergencies. Mm-hmm. We're here. My team is here. And so for me, I don't think about, you know, breaking down doors. I think about doing right by people. Mm. When you do right by people, everything else comes with it, right? And when people see that you're genuine and you're authentic and you practice a little bit of grace and empathy, I think that's where we are. Women, I mean, no offense to the gentlemen in the room, but we multi-purpose. I mean, we're multifaceted.
Right.
We can do it all. I mean, we can do it all. And so,
and bring a different perspective, detail
all the
oriented
time. And we can collaborate, we can build relationships. We can push the ball farther, faster.
Yes.
Not
yes.
necessarily in strength, mm-hmm. but in mind.
Yeah.
And so, I, you know, for me, it's just this is what I do. This is I don't think about being a parent. I don't even get caught up in titles. Yeah. My team can tell you. My title says president and CEO. But if I got to go pull cable over there because cable needs to be pulled and I know how to do it, right. I'm going to pull cable.
Right. That was your first job.
That was my first job.
And you saw that as the foundation of what needed to be done.
And that's why, Liz, I have literally worked my way through the entire network. Mm-hmm. I was in production as a production assistant. Then I was a production coordinator. Then I worked here as the communications person. Mm-hmm. I left here. To go do public relations.
Yes.
I came back to do PR and marketing and development, fundraising. I've done every job but engineering. And the funny thing about that is when I realized early on that, okay, I think I can run a station. Mm. I just need the right people to give me the opportunity. I know I can run a station. And mm-hmm. so I started studying engineering.
Wow.
Because that was my weak part. So
yes.
you're not going to be strong in everything. And so you build a team of strengths mm-hmm. based off of your weaknesses. And so, but what my problem is that I never want anybody to think that they can get over on me. So I'm like, I'm going to learn engineering. And I have a husband who knows a good enough about it that I can call him and say,
right.
hey, babe, they're mm-hmm. telling me this, this, and this.
Yes.
What should it be?
Right.
You know? And so all of that to say, I started reading all about translators and transmitters. And so I learned, I've never been an engineer, but I know it.
Wow.
And so it's funny because when I get in a room, Liz, full of men, because mm-hmm. typically that's what it is in this industry.
In the industry, yep.
And they try and challenge me mm-hmm. on certain things. Mm-mm. I know my job.
Right. Right.
I know my job.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, that's not to say sometimes there's not, it's not without question.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you can't get over on me because I know I've got this meeting with you in the morning at 11. I'm going to know about what you, more about what you do than what you know.
Yes, yes.
By 10:58. Trust me. That's I'm competitive. That's who I am. And so that's what I would say. To women, to young girls in general, preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared. Know what it is you want to do and prepare on the best avenue on how to get there.
Adrian, I want to go back to a younger Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
Could be your childhood, your teenage years, or even in college. But is there a time during that period where you recognized that you were a leader? Did you see that? And where do you see the beginnings of those leadership skills helping you?
I would say probably about 9 or 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I'm an older sister. I have
okay.
one sibling. And so, when I see things that are out of order,
mm-hmm.
because I believe in decency, when I see things that are out of order, I'm the one that has no problem saying, okay, we can be a little more productive and efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in Sunday school, as a matter of fact, and they were, we were all acting up, I'll be honest with you. And so our Sunday school teacher was trying to get us situated for a play.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple people who needed to have solo parts. And so she was trying to get everybody lined up and she was just having a hard time. She was hairy, you know? And so at 9 or 10 years old, I'm like, you know, Mrs. X, here's what we need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We did it. We got through it. And I'm like, I enjoyed that. And so, it was elementary. I figured out I had leadership skills and it wasn't just me. You know, my parents would say it. The church people would say it.
Awesome.
But it is. And I tell people all the time, it's not. And that's sometimes what happens in state government specifically. You have people in leadership roles who are not necessarily leaders. They're great managers.
Mm-hmm.
They can manage a process. They can manage a product development.
Mm-hmm.
They can manage an initiative, but they can't lead.
Right.
And a leader is someone who is able to create a vision, share that vision, and have other people buy into that vision enough such that they all move in the same direction at the same time. And that is innate. I'm a firm believer that that is almost innate. You can't teach it. You can take all the leadership trainings you want.
Right.
But being a leader is something that you almost have to be born with, in my opinion. Because anybody can communicate a vision, but how are you getting people to buy in? How are you getting the stakeholders to buy in? How are you getting those to believe and understand that this is the vision? Here's why it's the vision, and here's how we're going to be better for it.
Yes.
That takes a person with a special type of skill set, and I don't take ownership of that. I just believe it came from the master. I mean, it's honestly not something. I've taken a lot of leadership. I'm a certified public manager, and so I learned the tools in how to sharpen some of those skills.
Right.
But the skills were already in me. So I can't even take credit for that. I think it's just, and then when someone else sees it in you, they appoint you to those particular roles, and you either sink or swim.
And you are swimming.
I'm trying. today.
Well, let's talk about that. So, I mean, as a leader, you know, either sink or swim. And I mean, there are challenges all the time. How do you handle challenges on the job and maintain your sanity?
To thine own self be true. To thine own self be true. I have a circle of, I say affirmations all day, every day. But this job comes with challenges because I'm a state network. So I have to build relationships with legislators who I will say have been extremely kind and welcoming to me. Again, there's just no place like home, you know. I'm a South Carolina girl. And so even in Arizona, they're like, where are you from? South Carolina. Yeah, we can tell. The accent. I'm not going to lose my accent. But there are challenges that I wake up to sometimes. This morning, one of our switchers broke. And to somebody, it's like, so what? A switcher broke. Okay, well, the switcher conked out. Well, when you are in the middle of a production, a switcher matters. And so how do I do that and maintain my sanity? I take one problem at a time and I figure out what I believe the best solution is. But I have an amazing team that I can lean into to say, hey, here's the problem. Here's what I think the solution is. Now, give me your feedback and input. And I use that collaborative spirit to make decisions. We've had some pretty productive days here since I've come back, and I'm extremely excited about the wins. They, you know, returning to a network and a team that I didn't necessarily build myself. You know, you have to come in and you have to really assess the culture. You almost have to step outside of the culture and really look at it and monitor the ecosystem as a whole. You can't come in making crazy decisions. You have to figure out where you are, what goals you want to accomplish. And so honestly, Liz, I think that I, you know, take it problem by problem, challenge by challenge. Are they all resolved? Absolutely not. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we fail, but it's not, that's not how we're going to stay. And that's certainly not how we're going to judge ourselves. We're going to pick ourselves up and keep moving, figure out how to work around it and keep going. But I think that nothing is without relationship building and good communication and collaboration. And so if I were to, you know, tie this conversation up with a pretty bow, it would be that as a leader, I think you have to, as I said earlier, you got to be authentic. You got to be empathetic. You got to be genuine. For me, I'm decisive. I feel like you got to be decisive based on the good information that you have. Will you always have 100% of the information? No. So you got to find that threshold, that percentage that you're actually comfortable with. For me, If I have 90% good information, I'm not necessarily worried about the remaining 10%. If the 90% mark is good for me, I can make a decision.
Okay.
You know, and you got to have a good support. You got to have a good support system, both in and outside of any organization. And I have those things. I've got a great support system at home. I've got a great support system here at the network. I've got a great support system right here up the street. I'm pointing up the street at the State House because I am rebuilding relationships here at the network that were once lost. And I've got, and again, the legislators want SCETV to win.
Awesome.
They want us to win. And so most of my conversations, if not all of my conversations, have been, whatever it is you need, you give us a holler. You tell us. Our state legislators are working together. Mm-hmm. They are communicative. They're talking. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. At the end of the day, we all want the same things.
Right.
We all want to be able to go home. We want to be able to earn a good living, be a good community citizen, be productive, and have our children be productive and have safe and healthy communities.
Yes. Yes,
that's what we all want, the same things. It doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your political affiliation or your religious affiliation.
Right.
We all want the same, or your socioeconomic status. We all want the same things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's how you have to come at, that's how I approach every problem. Like, how can we make this better? And I'm a firm believer, if you're not a part of the solution, then you are the problem.
Well, I'm glad we have you as an advocate on our behalf as it relates to public media, making sure that we receive content that is engaging and educational and offers a different perspective, like you mentioned earlier. This shows a wide range of who we are as South Carolinians. So thank you so much for that. My final question to you is, beyond the boardroom, what does Adrian like to do?
I know you're not going to believe this because most people don't, but work out. I love to exercise.
Okay.
I love to exercise. I love to support my children that they're athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I love to do that. And unfortunately, my husband will agree with me. I love to shop.
Yeah, well, you know, we need that retail.
Yeah, I love to shop. I love to shop, but if I can make my way to a gym, then I'm in my happy place.
You and I need to hang out. No. Just so I can be inspired to go.
I'm glad to do that. I am glad to do that.
And I do want to give you the opportunity to talk about SCETV in terms of the support that viewers like you, just giving you that opportunity to seek support from viewers.
Viewers like you and everyone else in this room matter to us. You are our why, not just because of the donation and the membership. That's what we survive off. Our programming is brought to you because of donors and membership support. But they also matter because of our programming. We want our programming to be reflective of our communities. We want it to be what I call edutainment. Mm-hmm. We want it to be educational. Mm-hmm. We want it to be entertaining. And for us, we know that South Carolina ETV and South Carolina Public Radio is a member-supported network. And all of the programming that you see on our air, whether it's acquired or created or curated here locally, it is because of our membership. And we try to deliver content and programming that matters to South Carolina, that tells South Carolina's stories and helps to inform South Carolinians about who we are.
Right.
The great thing about being here at the network is that we are truly the window to the world for some folks who never even get out of the borders of the state of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. We have arts, we have drama, we have news, we have history, we have all types of cultural programming. And so for us, it matters. You matter, your membership matters, donors matter. And so we're thankful, we're grateful. And any level of support for us is something that, whether it's a dollar a month, we accept it and we're grateful for that.
Well, I definitely encourage our viewers to support SCETV as well as support SC State 1890. So Adrian, thank you so much for being a guest today. Again, thank you for opening your doors and allowing us to film on location. We greatly appreciate it. And I think this also just kind of speaks to partnerships of state agencies, you know, being able to tell one another stories, but just also, as you said, building relationships. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You all are always welcome. And yes, it does speak to partnerships of state agencies, which goes back to, you know, what I was saying. South Carolina, we are small but mighty. Mm-hmm. And I can quote a very special mentor of mine. We're a state that's always fighting above our weight class. We're small, but we are a mighty state. We're full of smart people with innovative and creative ideas.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you for joining us. You're watching Elevate Leadership Podcast, produced by South Carolina State University's Public Service and Agriculture. So join us each month where you can hear insightful interviews from innovative leaders. Thank you for watching today's show of Elevate Leadership Podcast. You can catch us all the time on any of our streaming platforms at SC State 1890.